We used to Leviticus chapter number 16. Leviticus chapter number 16. We continue our study on the science of the Christian life. Tonight I want to talk to you on the science of happiness. The science of happiness. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 29. The 29th verse of the 16th chapter of Leviticus, I read, "And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the 10th day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls by statute forever." Now turn, please, to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23 and verse number 15, the 15th verse of the 23rd chapter of Leviticus. "And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord." Look at verse number 23, please, of that same chapter. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Also on the 10th day of this seventh month shall there be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you. Ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God." Look at verse number 33 of that same chapter. "And the Lord spake again, unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, the 15th day of this seventh month, shall be the feast of tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord." Our Heavenly Father, we come now to discuss more about life. And I pray you'd help us to take the philosophy of our God and apply it to our own lives. Bless our fellowship and our study to our benefit, and therefore to the benefit of those whose paths we cross day by day. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, tonight, I'm going to talk about the science of happiness. The first thing I want to do, and I'm going to surprise you how I'm going to use these special occasions in the life of Israel. God had several things that he wanted his people to do in the way of holy times, special seasons, special days, special festivals, and so forth. Now, I'm not going to begin tonight to give you all of them, because, of course, there are numbers of different Sabbath days, for example. But I do want to give you the basic ones. First, I want to say God gave the Jews something special twice a day, the morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice. And the Jew looked forward to that. It was a big deal for him. The morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice, that was something special twice a day. All right? Now let's see how much you remember. All right? The first thing that we're discussing is God gave Israel something to do how often? How often? Twice a day. How often? Twice a day. How often? Twice a day. All right. What was the first thing they did? The what? Morning sacrifice. What was the second thing they did? Evening sacrifice. All right. So I want you to get these words. The morning and evening sacrifice. That sacrifice is twice a day. All right. Now the second thing I want you to get is God gave them something special once a week. Once a week he gave them something special. You know what that was, don't you? That was the what? Sabbath day. Are you listening to me? That was a Sabbath day. Say it. The what? And how often was the Sabbath day? And then the sacrifices, the regular sacrifices, were how often? Twice a day. The what sacrifice? Morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice. And then the Sabbath was once a what? Once a week. All right? That isn't all. God gave them something also very special three times a year. God gave them something very special. These I call the festivals. You had the Passover, you had the Pentecost, and you had the tabernacles. You can call them feasts if you want to, or festivals. There was a feast of the Passover and the feast of Pentecost 50 days later. And then there was the seventh month, there was the feast of the tabernacles, much like our Thanksgiving season. Now the Jews looked forward. By the way, they went to Jerusalem. This was more than just going to church. This was a big deal. This was a spring program and a fall program. This was something they looked forward to. Three times a year, the feast of the Passover, saith the what? Feast of the Passover. And then second was the feast of Pentecost, saith the feast of what? Pentecost. And third, the feast of Tabernacles, saith the feast of... All right. Now let's go back. First we found out that God gave them something twice a day, the morning and the evening sacrifice, something special twice a day. Then we found that God gave them something special once a what? A week, and that was the what? That was the Sabbath. And then we found that God gave them something special three times a year. We call those the three what? Feasts, or three what? Festivals. And all the people went to what city for those feasts? Jerusalem. All right, the first was the feast of? Anybody home? Feast of the Passover, said. Feast of the Passover, feast of the Pentecost, and then feast of the, said again, first feast of the Passover, 50 days later, feast of the, and then in October of the seventh month, the feast of the Tabernacles, all right? So now then, you got these special times and special events that God has for his people. Twice a day, once a week, and then three times a year. Then, God gave them something else once every 7 years. Once every 7 years, they had something to look forward to also. And that was what they called the sabbatical year. The sabbatical year was the year when they did not plant the crops. They harvested what came up that just came up wild, you might say. But it was something they looked forward to. It was a holy year, and it was once every 7 years called the sabbatical year. Say that. The what? Sabbatical year, once every what? 7 years. What took place every 7 years? The what? Sabbatical year. Okay, sit up. It's time for a pop quiz. God gave them something special twice a... Talk to me. Twice a day, the morning and the evening sacrifice. Then God gave them something special once a week called the what? Sabbath day. Then God gave them something special how many times a year? Three times a year. They were called what? Feast or festivals. But one was the feast of the Passover. Two was the feast of Pentecost. Three was the feast of Tabernacles. All right. Then God gave them something once every 7 years. By the way, let me go back and just for a second and let me give you one he gave you once a year. He also, I didn't intend to put this in there, I think I will. He gave them one once a year, and that was the Day of Atonement. That was the Day of Atonement. That was the day that the high priest entered inside the Holy of Holies and sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat and so forth. All right? That was once a year, the Day of Atonement. What was once a year? The what? Day of Atonement. All right, how often was that? Once a year. Then God gave them something every 7 years, and that was the sabbatical year. All right? Now, something they look forward to. They enjoyed. These were more than just a sanctimonious religious services. These were happy times. The festivals were happy times. Entire families went together. I don't mean just the mom and dad and Junior and Susie. I mean entire big families like the whole grandpa and grandma and the children and the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren all went together in great families, and they went up to Jerusalem. These were happy times and times they looked forward to. Then there was once every 50 years they looked forward to. Once every 50 years. And that was called the year of what? Jubilee. Say it. The year of what? Jubilee. Say it again. The year of what? And that was once every how often? Every 50 years. And that's when the land reverted back to the original ownership and so forth. Okay, now then. We have a lot of things. Every week, every day, the Jew looked forward to something. What was that? The morning what? Sacrifice. And the evening what? Evening sacrifice. And then once a week, the Jew looked forward to something, a very special day. That was what day? The Sabbath day. And then three times a year, the Jew looked forward to something, and they were called the what? Feast or the festivals. First was the feast of the Passover. Second was the feast of Pentecost. Third was the feast of the Tabernacles. And then there was once a year they had something they looked forward to, and that was the day of what? Atonement. Say it. The day of? Say it again. The day of atonement. Say it again. The day of atonement. And then every 7 years they had what they called the what kind of year? Sabbatical year. Say it again. The what? Sabbatical year. How often was that? Every 7 days. How often was that? Every 7 days. Every 7 years. I'm sorry. I just enjoyed them so much I went regularly. But, okay. Then once ever, how many years? 50 years. They had what they call the year of? And how often was the year of Jubilee? Once ever what? 50 years. And every 50 years they had the year of what? Jubilee. Now, I'll come back to these in a few minutes. And we're not going to study these tonight except the philosophy of our God in handling his people. Now let me go back and follow me carefully. I'm gonna revert back and start along another line and come back and use it after a while. Look at me carefully. Joy is a command. God commands us to have joy. You've heard me say this again and again and again, and that is that anything that God commands, we can decide to do. Is that right? If God says rejoice, then that means we can will to rejoice. We can decide to rejoice. Remember the gates at the airport? Remember that? Get that blank look off your face now. Remember the gates at the airport that we decided to choose which one to go down? All right. Then joy is a command. So if joy is a command, we can decide to be joyful. Now, the other thing. For example, joy is a decision. Love is a command. So love is a decision also. You can decide to love. You don't have to ask God to give you love. You can decide to love. God commands you to love, and God does not command you to do anything that you cannot decide by and to do and will to do. For example, God says we're supposed to be content. Be content with such things as you have. Now that means that we can decide to be content. If you do not love, that means you're transgressing the command of God because you can choose to love. Look at me now. If you don't have joy, that means you've chosen not to have joy because God commands you to have joy, and God never commands you to have something you cannot will or decide to have. But happiness is not a command. Happiness is not a command. God does not command you to be happy. Why? Because you cannot decide to be happy. Happiness is caused by external conditions. For example, Chicago Bulls win the NBA championship. That makes me happy. They win the second year. That makes me happier. They win the third year. That makes me happier. I'm happy because the Chicago Bulls won the NBA championship. If the Dallas Cowboys used to win, I'd be happy. I don't give a flip about the Cowboys anymore. I don't care if they ever win anymore. And that's why they're winning, because I don't care if they win anymore. But I'm saying, see, Brother Bob, you can't give me joy. That's up to me. But you can give me happiness. Consequently, happiness is caused by circumstances. The very word itself, happiness. Happiness. Joy is not caused by what happens. Joy is caused by what you are. But happiness is happiness. Whatever happens to you that's pleasant gives you happiness. Now then, hear me carefully now, most of every life does not bring happiness. Most of every life does not bring happiness. I had a question asked me Sunday night in question and answer time, and I elaborated on it. Every once in a while, somebody writes me a note, and they're good people. I love them, and I'm certainly not trying to hurt anybody's feelings tonight, though I can without trying. But people often write me and say, "Dear Brother Hiles, our boy doesn't like school anymore. Our girl doesn't like school anymore. It used to be fun to go to school, and now it's no longer fun." Well, I don't know anything in the Bible that says school's supposed to be fun. I went to school all the way through, grade school, junior high school, college, and seminary. I never had one day of fun all the time I was there. And nobody ever told me school was supposed to be fun. Brother Andy, would you go out and tell them to turn those flashing lights off, or I'm going to come out there myself? Somebody go out. These flashing lights, almost every service out there, those flashing lights, and tell them, I said, turn them off, or I'm coming out there, and if I come out there, they'll never flash again. I get a little tired of people going parking out there and flashing. We were having church inside here. Arr! The bulldog is about to bite. I have a joy, but I'm not happy right now. Now, let me say this. Most of life is not made for happiness. Now, hear me carefully. If work is happiness, now, understand me. The privilege of work should bring joy. But nobody says you have to enjoy the work that you do. In other words, the fact that you have a job, that's wonderful. And it ought to bring happiness to you. But that doesn't mean that you enjoy what you do. You have a job, and I'm not saying that you're supposed to. Well, brother, I just don't enjoy my job. I'm sorry, but there are a lot of things I don't enjoy about my job. How would you like to work with these fellows here on the platform? Now, I'm saying that life is not supposed to be all happiness. For if life were all happiness, then you would have no happiness. Happiness itself is caused by a diversion from the humdrum. You know, we have the idea nowadays that the principal at the high school is supposed to be a youth director. Or that the teacher at the high school is supposed to be a recreation director. No, the truth is, my teachers were execution directors. Now again, don't get mad at me now, but I want to tell you that the average humdrum of life does not bring happiness. And so, work. Okay. Give me some housewives. Who's a housewife up here? Okay. Do you enjoy vacuuming? Okay. Do you enjoy being a housewife to your husband? Yeah. But do you enjoy vacuuming? I say, you enjoy ironing? You enjoy waxing the floor? But you enjoy being a housewife? That's what I'm trying to say. She loves the guy. Only she and God do, but she loves the guy. And so she is happy that she is a housewife to the man she loves. But anybody that loves to iron is crazy, retarded or crazy, one or the other, maybe both. Or maybe they're the same. I'm simply saying she doesn't love to iron. She doesn't love to wax the floor. She doesn't. What else did you know? Vacuum. She doesn't love to vacuum. Now, who said she's supposed to? Her husband comes home. She says, "Darling," either that or, "Honey," she says, "Something's wrong. I just don't enjoy ironing anymore." Now, life is not composed all of ha-has. Life is not composed all of happiness. Now, listen carefully. That means that the wise person will create enough pleasant things to give happy times to look forward to as a relief from the humdrum. If you cannot decide to have happiness, and you can't, you can decide to rejoice, you can decide to be content, you can decide to love because those are commands from God. But you cannot decide to be happy. But you can place in the humdrum. Hey, how many of you work secularly, secular job? Raise your hand, would you please? All right. How many of you dearly love those secular jobs? I mean, you can't wait till you get to work because it's so much fun. Would you raise your hand, please? How many of you don't really, I mean, really, you sort of dread going to work? Would you raise your hand, please? All right. Now, what's wrong? Nothing wrong with that at all. I'm saying that life is not composed of fun only. Life is not composed of ha-ha only. Life is not composed of pleasure only. Life is not composed of recreation only. Life is composed of responsibilities and duties and the mundane and the usual.
and the obligations of life. Some are not fun, some are not pleasant, but it's a delight to have them because they're an expression of our love, and they also give us character. But if we're going to be happy, we have to insert little things in the humdrum of life. And those things are delightful things that will cause us to be happy. That's what God did. God said, you people out here working in the fields, harvesting the barley and the corn, harvesting the crops, you folks out in the fields, you folks working out in the Judean hills as shepherds of the hot sun, he said, I'm going to give you twice a day a little respite. I'm going to give you a morning sacrifice, little time off for the morning sacrifice, little time off for the evening sacrifice. You look forward to that. Then I'm going to give you one day a week off, a Sabbath day. You will look forward to that. And then I'm going to give you three times a year off, Passover and Pentecost and Tabernacle, Easter Tabernacles. You will look forward to that. Then I'm going to give you one big day a year called the Day of Atonement. You will look forward to that. Then every 7 years, I'm going to give you a big year. That's the sabbatical year. You will look forward to that. Every 50 years, I'm going to give you once in a lifetime year. That's called the Year of Jubilee. And you see, God knows that we need to have interspersed in the humdrum of life a little, some things that will make us happy. And by the way, these are things, not only, are you listening? Not only are there things that make you happy while you're doing them, but there are things that while you're doing the humdrum of life causes you to look forward to these things and give spice to your work time when you realize that the little hiatus time is also going to come. Now, notice, it was these things were scheduled. Folks, I want to tell you tonight the thing I've been telling you for a long time. You can plan your life so it can be a delight to you. You can, when you are out yonder pounding the pavement, delivering the mail, are you out at the steel mill, and you're working out there on the blast furnace? Are you under the car, greasy car, trying to get a car fixed? Are you in the factory somewhere, working in a factory? Are you loading on the docks at UPS or RPS, and you're tired and you're weary, and you say, I'm not having much fun. But if you have in your life some things to look forward to that do give you delight and do give you pleasure, not only does it help you in the time of pleasure, but looking forward to it makes you happy. Now, that means that it's good for each individual. Everybody in this room ought to have some times every day that you look forward to. A lady came to me last week or two ago, one of our finest ladies, and she's having a little, her life was sort of humdrum. And I said, what do you like? What's your Reese peanut butter cup? Reese peanut butter cup is my weakness. Beer is another one. But I said, what do you look forward to? And she said, I said, what's your Reese peanut butter cup? And she said, Oreo cookies. And I said, okay, then every day, once or twice a day, have an Oreo cookie time. Or once an hour. Or do like Dan Daniels done, once every 10 minutes. But I'm saying, look, God didn't choose these morning, evening sacrifices accidentally. God said, I want my people to have a little respite, a little time they'd look forward to every day. Then I want my people to have a little something to look forward to every week. Then I want my people to have something to look forward to three times a year. Then I want my people to have something to look forward to once a year. Then I want my people to have something to look forward to every 7 years. Then I want my people to have something to look forward to every 50 years. And God is giving us, now, of course, these are times of worship and times of offering sacrifices and times of doing no servile work. But there are also times of family get-together. These were family get-together. You ever dawn on you why the Jew couldn't walk or couldn't travel over about a third of a mile away from home on the Sabbath day? Because God wanted him with his family. Ever dawn on you why the Jew couldn't even build a fire on the Sabbath day? God wanted the family unit together. And God said, I'm going to give you twice a day has a little time of respite. I'm going to give you once a week. I'm going to give you three times a year. I'm going to give you one time a year. I'm going to give you once every 7 years and once every 50 years. Now, folks, listen. You're looking today, tonight, at a man who works hard. I do. I work hard. I mean that. Nobody here works more hours than I work, and I work hard. I was up this morning at 4:30, and I was working on pastor school, 4:30 this morning. And, of course, I went back to bed at 5. But I'm saying, I work hard, and I don't take vacations, and I don't take a lot of time off. But I tell you what I do, I have little places that I place in my lifetime that I enjoy, and I look forward to those things. You've heard me talk about them. I call them mini vacations. At the airport every Monday, I used to have a hot dog, but the O'Hare Field Airport hot dogs have deteriorated, and so I have a bagel. I go to the airport, and I have a bagel. I look for bagel. I like bagels because you can chew on each bite a long, long time. They don't melt in your mouth, I'll tell you for sure. I'll give you a little advice. Don't heat them because they don't last as long if you heat them. Eat them cold because they're tougher when you eat them cold. But I'm simply saying, I love it. I go to the airport and I look forward to it. It's bagel time. And then 5 minutes later, it's bagel time again. I look forward to it. I get on the airplane and I read the newspaper for just about 15 minutes on the airplane, USA Today. It's a part of my weekly schedule. Now, I don't like to travel. I don't like motels. But I have some things I do on the airplane to overcome the drudgery of flying and the drudgery of staying in a motel. I have things I do. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to live my life unhappy. But you have to create atmosphere for happiness in your life, just like God said, I'm going to give you twice a day, I'm going to give you once a week, I'm going to give you three times a year, I'm going to give you once a year, I'm going to give you once every 7 years, I'm going to give you once every 50 years. Now that means in your life, you ought to have something every day that you look forward to. Then you ought to have some things weekly that you look forward to. You ought to have some things monthly that you look forward to. You ought to have some things seasonally that you look forward to. You ought to have some things annually that you look forward to. And some things for a lifetime you look forward to. Like retirement. You look forward to retire so you can just do nothing but play. And then you're so sick you can't play. But I'm saying, you're not going to do what I said to make a difference. But at least I'm making a living. But the truth is, I know what I'm talking about. You're not looking at a man that gets depressed. And I got more enemies than all you folks put together. But I'm not depressed. Not only do I have joy, I've been commanded to have joy. I told you the other night how I have joy. I obey God's command, and I have joy. But I also have happiness because I plan things in the humdrum of life that I enjoy, that make me happy. Same thing is true for a marriage. Now, folks, I tell you, engaged people. How many folks are engaged? I got some things I want to talk to you about. Most of marriage is not like most of engagement. You look forward to getting married, and you fantasize what it's like. And so you say, boy, I can't wait till I get married. But in your fantasy, there's some things you don't include. You don't put in your fantasy that his breath smells bad in the morning and his feet smell bad in the evening. You don't put in the fantasy the fact that the commode gets stopped up every once in a while. You don't say, oh, I can't wait till I get married so I can smell his feet. You don't say that. But here's what happens. You do not plan for reality. Here's fantasy right here. You get married, you put the reality over here. Now, the simple, honest truth is, ladies and gentlemen, marriage is composed of decisions, of work, of sometimes disagreement. In fact, all the time, disagreement. Marriage is composed of reality. Now, in your marriage, listen carefully, in your marriage, you need to put little times of happiness. You say, marriage is not what I thought it'd be. Well, you quit thinking what you think it ought to be, and you try to figure out what you ought to be as a wife or a husband, and quit trying to fantasize. But I'm trying to tell you tonight that if you're going to have a happy marriage, you're going to plan some times to enjoy each other. Most of the couples in this room have not spent time together alone in months. You're so wrapped up in the house, the payments, the finances, the rearing the kids, fixing stuff, all the humdrum. And by the way, you need that. We need to have the humdrum of life. Because if all you have is fun, then there's no fun at all. But you need to plan in your marriage some time for pleasure, some time for delight, some time for refreshment. God said, I want my people to look forward to something. I want my people to look forward to every morning, the morning sacrifice, and every evening, the evening sacrifice. And every week, the Sabbath day. And three times a year, the feast of the Passover and the feast of the Pentecost and the feast of the Tabernacles. And every year, I want my people to look forward to the Day of Atonement. And every 7 years, the sabbatical year. Every 50 years, the year of Jubilee. Hey, that's basically what we do. I can't wait till Easter. I can't wait till the 4th of July. I can't wait till Thanksgiving. I can't wait till Christmas. I can't wait till New Year's. I can't wait till Easter. Now, you can have your own little daily Easters and Christmases and your own little weekly Easters and Christmases as a couple. Now, listen to me. If I ever become God, we're going to outlaw children. Either that or when they get to be 13, we're going to have another Holocaust. Now, listen to me. That little precious thing that comes in your house, listen to me, is destroying more marriages than any other single thing. Do you remember before you got married, it was Gucci Goo and Boopsy Whoopsy and Lovey Dovey? And now then, it's a little thing. Little baby gets a Gucci Gucci and the Boopsy Whoopsy and the Lovey Dovey. Now, I'll tell you something. Happy marriages are planned. Happy lives are planned. Happy churches are planned. Do you know that this church is a bundle of excitement right now? You know why? We're looking forward to something. The end of pastor school. Hey, praise God. 8 days from right now, it'll all be over. But we're looking forward to it. And that's what Brother Hiles does. I keep you having something to look forward to all the time. We have our daily, weekly, monthly. We have our annual things. We have our Memorial Day service at our cemetery. We have our Thanksgiving Day service on Thanksgiving. We have our watch night service on New Year's Eve. We have our spring program. We have our fall program. We have activities, always something to look forward to. Now, again, I say, that's not to give us joy. We can decide to have joy. We can't decide to have happiness. But we can decide to intersperse in our lives a little hiatus here and a hiatus there of something we enjoy to give us a reprieve from the mundane responsibilities and duties and burdens of life. And the same thing about a marriage and the same thing about a church. Same thing about your life. Same thing about your children. Children need responsibilities. Let me say this. Just as this is the age of young people. Just as mom and dad need relief from the mundane, if you're not going to be interested, look interested anyhow. Just as mom and dad need relief from the mundane, Junior needs relief from the fundane. The Bible said, be careful over microphones. The Bible said it is good for one to bear the yoke in his youth. And young people don't need to have fun all the time. They need to work and sweat and toil and know what it is to live the realities of life, and then give them these little extras. But we have spoiled our children rotten. Mom and Dad never have any hiatus. And Junior never has any responsibilities. The average boy in this room, who's the age of that boy right there, or that boy right there, gripes if he has to take the garbage out 30 seconds a day. The average young lady in this room ought to be washing dishes at home regularly. The average young lady in this room ought to be ironing, having responsibility, cleaning house. And I don't mean just make up your bed every morning. I'm talking about work. The honest, simple truth is, this age is built for the adults to have no relief and the children to have no responsibilities. God said, 6 days shalt thou work, and the seventh day you don't work. Now, if you don't work for 6 days, having the seventh day off is no big deal. So God said, 6 days shalt thou work, and then the seventh day you're off. Now, I used to work on a farm. And boy, I tell you what, we worked 6 days from the time that sun first put its eyelid over there to that when it went to sleep at night. And you talk about something we look forward to was Sunday. I mean, boy, on Monday, I said, just 6 more days. On Tuesday, just 5 more days. On Wednesday, just 3 more days. I'm trying to tell you, ladies, 4 more days. I'm trying to tell you that the only thing kept me going Monday through Saturday was the fact that Sunday was going to come. But America doesn't enjoy her Sundays anymore because she doesn't use her Monday through Saturdays right. God said, I want you to work. But he said, I want to give you twice a day a little hiatus. I want to give you one once a week. I want to give you 3 times a year. I want to give you one once a year. I want to give you one every 7 years. I want to give you one every 50 years. What was God saying? Just, okay, you have it. You have a day off a week. You look forward to it. And then, every once in a while, you have a Monday off or a long weekend. You look forward to that. Then every year, you have a vacation. You look forward to that. And then, out yonder one day, you look forward to retirement. You look forward to that. Now, you let a person never take the Monday. I'm falling for you. You let a person never take the mundane and never sweat and never toil. And don't you think you're being good to your kids because they don't have to work? You say, Brother Howes, what can a boy do? You can do exactly what we did in the Army. Sergeant would say, dig a hole 6 feet deep. And we'd dig it. Next day he'd say, fill it up. End up like it was, but we didn't end up like we were. One of the first things I ever did in Camp Hood, Texas, when I went in the Army in World War II, they had a stack of bricks about that high and about 15 feet long, and they said, you guys move those bricks over here to the other side of this road. We spent a whole day, a bunch of us, moving those bricks to the other side of the road, and they said, now tomorrow you move those bricks back over there where they were. And I said, Captain Fuller, I don't think. He said, you're not paid to think. You're paid to move those bricks. But you know what we look forward to? Had a little 10-minute break every hour. Every hour we had a 10-minute break. Now, God said, I want you to work. I want you to have responsibilities. And again, I'm trying to teach you how to have you let teach your children to enjoy time that's the recreation time. But if it's all fun, then there's no joy. That's one reason why we don't have big days every Sunday. I know churches, every Sunday's a big day. If that's the case, then no Sunday's a big day. But if we have average Sundays, normal Sundays,
usual Sundays, routine Sundays, then we have something very special. We look forward to that. We don't have a winter program, a late winter program, early spring program, late spring program, early summer program, late summer program, early fall program, late fall program. We don't do that. We have about 14 or 15 weeks a year where we have two big pushes here. And that's what makes life enjoyable. I'm saying every individual needs it, every marriage needs it, every church needs it, every child needs it. Now, observation quickly. A surprise is not good unless the times of the surprise are known. Don't say, I'm not going to tell you when it's going to be, but we're going to have a day off one of these days. No, you let them know when it is so they can enjoy looking forward to it. Then, observation. Everything should not be special or nothing will be special. Let me give you some ideas. Candy time, hot dog time, certain radio program time, newspaper time, for couples, a date time, vacation time, a walk, a drive, a book, a birthday, an anniversary, a tea time, I don't mean golf, I mean hobby, phone call to a friend, regular church time. And that's what life is all about. Life is composed of that which we have to do. And that is seasoned by things that are delightful that we choose to do. I don't hope to have any success with you at all because you want to gripe. But you won't gripe if you live like I live. I mean that. You won't gripe. Wednesday morning is a tough time for me because I have to get up real early. Sometimes on Wednesday I get up at 8:30 or earlier. Usually I get to bed about 12:30 on Tuesday night and get up around 3:30 on Wednesday morning. But I got a few things I do Wednesday morning when I get up. You know what I do? I'm going to confess a sin to you. Everywhere I go, they give me Reese's peanut butter cups. Usually about 16,000 every week. Every Wednesday morning at 3:30 when I get up, or 4, I have one little drawer that I always put a Reese's peanut butter cup at. And at 3:30 every Wednesday morning, I'm eating a Reese's peanut butter cup. The only thing that bothers me, I can't sleep at night for the fun of looking forward to having a Reese's peanut butter cup in the morning. This morning, I slept a little later this morning, about an hour later. So I got up at 3:30, Reese's peanut butter cup, and back to bed. Boy, I love to live. I really do. I enjoy life. You say you enjoy everything you do? No, I have to go to deacon's meetings. But I enjoy life. I wish I could take every stinking one of you and those that smell good. I wish I could take all of you. I wish I could sit down with you and plan your stupid schedule for you. And it's just been a tough day. Well, don't plan tomorrow so it won't be tough. Twice a day, God said, I want you to take a little time off now. Morning sacrifice, evening sacrifice. He said, once a week, I want you to look forward to having the Sabbath day. He said, three times a year, I want you to look forward to having the Feast of the Passover, Feast of Pentecost, and Feast of Tabernacles. Once a year, I want you to look forward to having the Day of Atonement. Once every 7 years, I want you to look forward to having the sabbatical year. And once every 50 years, I want you to look forward to having the Year of Jubilee. In your life, personally, in the life of your family, in the life of your business, in the life of your church, if you will realize you cannot choose to have happiness, you can choose to have joy. God does not command you to be happy. God commands you to rejoice. And you can choose to do that, but you can't choose to be happy. But you can. Look, go home and write down some things that you enjoy. I'm talking about things that are right to enjoy. I'm not talking about watching Oprah. I'm talking about enjoying something that weighs the same thing all the time. But anyway, I'm talking about some things that you can enjoy. Write them down. And regularly, on schedule, enjoy those things. So you can not only enjoy them while you're doing it, but you can anticipate. The Jews said, the evening sacrifice is coming. I can't wait till it gets here. The Jews said, I'm in the field working, but the Sabbath day I'll have all day to rest. The Jews said, week after week after week, I have the humdrum of life, but three times a year I get to go to Jerusalem. I get to go at the Feast of the Passover and the Feast of the Pentecost and the Feast of the Tabernacles. I get to go to Jerusalem, and it's a big deal. And once a year, we have that wonderful time of the Day of Atonement. I'm simply saying that God has planned for His people little delightful things, not to take the place of the humdrum of life, but to relieve us from the humdrum of life. He knows we need the humdrum, we need the schedule, we need the responsibility, we need the work and the toil and the sweat. But He also knows that you're not happy doing that. But if you can put little delightful things in your schedule. Now, I feel like I'm talking in Greek in England, because I don't think anybody's going to do what I say. And that's why you're so all fired miserable. And that's why I'm happy. I work as much as you do and as hard as you do and longer than you do. But I intersperse in my life. Hey, try that Reese's peanut butter cup at 3:30 in the morning. You say, Brother Hiles, I can't do that. Okay, try a Snicker at 3:30 in the morning then. I've tried both. Time for a final examination. How many times a day? The morning what? And the evening what? How many times a week? What was it? Sabbath. How many times a year? First was the feast of the Passover. Second was the feast of the Pentecost. Third was the feast of the, how many times a year? Once a year. And that was the what? Day of Atonement. And then every how many years? Seven. That was called the what? Sabbatical year. Then how many years? 50. That was called the year of Jubilee. Shall we stand?